Creekside with Don and Jan. Welcome to Creekside with Don and Jan. If you care to live in harmony with nature and the land, and you wish to live more peacefully with all your fellow man, if self-reliant living is a big part of your plan, if you like to talk some politics with those who really can, this is the time, this is the place, Creekside with Don and Jan. Sit right down and make some space, Creekside with Don and Jan. Let's get started right away, Creekside with Don and Jan. No more singing, no delay, Creekside with Don and Jan. Creekside with Don and Jan.
Well, let me say howdy and welcome to another episode of Creekside with Don and Jan, the official podcast of a couple things now. What are those?
The Owl Creek Gazette and Creekside Community Brew Coffee House. We've expanded.
And there's my partner, Jan.
Business partner and partner in life,
Don. Oh, you betcha.
So,
isn't that fun?
Anyway, we are here at episode 332. And by the way, yes, it is fun, Don. I don't want to shortchange that comment. And it is June 9th, and we are in downtown Greenville, Illinois. And yesterday was such a fun day for us and really for the whole community. Yeah. We want to kind of give our little recap of that, and then we want to move into some other ideas that show a connection between the Owl Creek Gazette and coffee.
Imagine that. We can draw a line from point A to B, and it's just like getting, 6 degrees from Kevin Bacon.
That's right.
only our bacon will be in a turnover. But I'm pumped.
Or a quiche. Look out.
See what I said?
Options. So anyway, yesterday was Dairy Days for Greenville. And of course, it was the night before, too, on Friday. But we really participated and were active in the Saturday activities. And we had no idea how much that event was going to bring people into our shop. And we loved it.
Yeah, and thanks to those authors, Gary Guest, Deb Obermeyer, and Roger Peach, they brought in a bunch of people that we wouldn't have expected otherwise, and the whole event was just so well orchestrated and well done.
Well, you're speaking of Dairy Days in general, and that a big hats off to Jess Adam for doing that, the Greenville Tourism Director. And Jess came in several times, and it was funny. He was like, oh, I need spoons. Oh, I need a chair. So we were happy to be here for him, and I'm sure it was comfortable for him to come into what used to be his coffee house and know that he could find what he needed here. So that was fun. And when you mentioned the authors, Don, and the people they brought in that had either known about them or were old friends with them or wanted to purchase their book, and a couple people came in that had bought books from them but wanted them signed. So that was nice that they had that opportunity. And then we were able to share our customers with them as well. So that was a nice activity for connection again.
Sure. Once again, that's all it is about connection.
Right. And then you made 3 batches of biscuits and gravy because we went through that like crazy. We sold all the scones, the blueberry scones that Becky Tracy makes for us. And by the way, another thank you goes out to her. Becky was only supposed to stay till noon yesterday. And even then, she had other family obligations that she was trying to get to and said, I can come in on Saturday and stay till noon and help you out.
And we managed to squeak another 2 hours out of her.
Well, she volunteered them, and my goodness, we were so busy. And she looked at me and she said, I know that, I couldn't leave you guys in this kind of a full-blown customer after customer. So she's a good employee and fast becoming a good friend, too, when someone gives you something. Something like that, their time and their energy, boy, you appreciate it.
No doubt about it.
And we've given a hats off and a big thanks. Now I want to add a big congrats to you, Don. You took home the homemade ice cream champion trophy at Dairy Days.
That's quite an honor, and it was thrust upon me with great aplomb by the guys who went up there and I beat out 3 others.
Look out. Still makes you the best of the lot. Top of the 4. But it was fun because when you came back and Corey Elam had come in before you, and he announced that you were the victor, and he was awfully happy about that. Don won the ice cream contest, and so we were ready for you, and you walk in the door, and all the customers that were here applauded you as you walked in, and then it was nice because we got to share that ice cream with them, and the special sauce that you made.
I did make a special
out of some
sauce.
Ingredients from Creekside Community Brew Coffee House, nonetheless.
You bet.
So
amazing what you can do with espresso and chocolate.
That's right. There's nothing bad that can happen with that combination, except maybe a little loss of sleep. But, you know, people can make up for that down the road.
Yeah, there's always room for coffee and always room for caffeine.
And always room for chocolate. So you won it with your chocolate ice cream, and that was really fun and a nice highlight of the day.
It was actually good ice cream, too.
Well, yeah, that's probably why it won. I'm just saying.
Well, they actually had a tie. The two judges had a tie between the four selections that were up there,
mm-hmm.
and I was almost beat out by Peach.
Yes, but then the tie-breaking person voted yours.
The guy running the show pulled a person out of the crowd and said, "Okay, here, you taste this. We mm-hmm. need a tiebreaker."
Mm-hmm.
And she stuck in. They talked and talked and talked about it, and Jess said, "Now don't look at anybody. Just tell me what you think about it." And she liked the chocolate better. She said, "We have a winner."
Well, and that's cute because they did not know who made anything,
right?
So it was just sheer taste alone that won you your award.
You betcha.
So we'll proudly have that on display here at the coffee house for all to see. And we've already talked about the way we can bring that into the Creekside menu.
Yeah, I think
in the future.
In the future, we've got plenty of room to make some ice cream mm-hmm. on occasion mm-hmm. for special occasions.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so the next weekend is the Greenville Graffiti Car Show, and we're already toying with things that we can make for that because we found out 3 rounds of biscuits and gravy and scones and bagels were not enough. We fortunately had some salads, too, we were able to sell for lunch with that kind of crowd coming into Greenville. And granted, there are food trucks at events like that, and there are drink vendors and all that as part of it. But still, you know, it's nice for people to come in and cool down at our location and enjoy a different kind of food or a different kind of experience. And so we're going to try to be a tad more prepared for the onslaught of crowds that come for Greenville Graffiti Car Show.
Eric Estrada is going to be here. So there will be a special crowd for that. And, you know, he was a hottie of the 70s that rode a motorcycle in
the Chips series.
Right. He played a state cop, a California State Highway Patrolman. Chips was the name of the program, so I think what we've decided to do is to have a special chips and salsa.
Yeah, because that would be fun after biscuits and gravy, which happens every Saturday morning.
We'll have chips and salsa.
That'll be fun. And I said to you, you know, we could have chocolate chip cookies and things like that, which we probably will anyway. But the idea is for something refreshing and chips and salsa. And we said, what can we do to make a margarita without alcohol? And so you and
I. So we're working on it.
We are. So stay tuned. Check our Facebook pages too, folks. Creekside Community Brew Coffee House. Every day we post what's on the menu. And so that's another way to find out what's been going on in our brains and actually goes from our brains to the oven or the stove and then comes out in the form of something on the menu.
Maybe we could come up with something using agave nectar.
That's a possibility.
It is a possibility.
Stay tuned, folks.
We will. The chemistry set is churning in my head.
It is. And then also, since we had ice cream on our minds, we thought I'd posted that on Facebook that you were the winner, and someone said, "Well, cold brew coffee floats sounds like a good idea, and we make a mean cold brew here.
We do.
So, you know, we can maybe, plop on some ice cream and have a float.
I think it'd be great.
Yeah, so those are things that we're working on.
Doing, well, you know, there's even something that we could do to make it carbonated, too. So there's plenty of room to play that one up.
That's right, and there's plenty of room, but not plenty of time, so we have to get busy.
Hurry. Okay, go.
And concoct before next Saturday.
We'll get her done, and it will taste good, and you will like it.
Fingers crossed. And we maybe get some samples out just to make sure people like it. But anyway, we want to talk about how coffee is somehow connected with the Owl Creek Gazette and the mission that we have with both the coffee house and the magazine. And so from time to time, as people have come in since we've opened the coffee house, they and I generally hand out a magazine. to any willing soul, anyone that looks like they might want it.
Imagine that.
But it's been nice to have it because it's explained to a lot of people that don't know who we are or why the heck we're behind the counter. It gives them that insight.
Yeah.
But we had a gentleman in the other day for Dairy Days, and he was actually in town for that, but as well as going out to the American Farm Heritage Museum because they had a train show out there. And as we talked, he ordered biscuits and gravy, and he was looking down at the magazine. I gave him a copy of the Owl Creek Gazette, and he looked up at me, and he looked back down at the picture, and he looked at me again, and he smiled. He said, "So you're the folks that are the Owl Creek Gazette. I love your publication." And then he said something that really made me feel, I guess, almost proud, because he said, "Your publication is the voice of reason." And I thought, oh, my goodness, that's what we try to be. And we went on, he and I, to talk about the importance and the benefit of presenting alternative ideas and exploring other philosophies. And both of us said, when we put this out there, and he had said at times he worked, he did some projects with SIU over in Edwardsville. And he said his goal and our goal were similar in that we just wanted to put out ideas that you might not have heard before, not necessarily to be embraced by everyone, but to be considered, because that's the beauty of thinking, and that's the beauty of the free word and ideas shared. So he was all over that, and I was like, "This is wonderful."
And I think the comment that I made to you about that this morning was that universities at one point in time used to be the place that you went to explore ideas,
mm-hmm.
and I believe maybe universities have taken a different path now, and they are all competing to be the definitive voice of whatever the problem is.
Or the definitive voice of what is politically correct.
Which is just as dangerous.
Oh, absolutely. So he was recognizing that that's not where we were going, and I was recognizing that's not where he was going, because we want that idea thrown out there to be considered. So anyway, that kind of thoughtful conversation just makes my day. And then hearing that he described our publication as a voice of reason was icing on the cake for me. I was one happy camper.
It was a hoot.
It was a hoot. So that made me begin to pull back a little bit and think, we know we want to continue building community here and having a place for people to gather and think and share ideas and experiences. Even the dinner we had the other night that Terra Mater Meals, Roxanne and John, put together and served up to the people who came and either ate in or dined out was a chance for us to sit down with people. We had one big table full of people, and then we had in the other room there was people that had joined together in mm-hmm. community as they ate the meatloaf and the potatoes and the salad.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was nice. It was an opportunity to visit with those people in a different way than we can behind the counter or behind the computer screen.
Yeah, for those, you know, the first 3 weeks here, we've done all the serving, and then it was nice to be served.
Yes, it was. That was fun.
It was.
But that made me think, what else can we do, and how is it all connected? And I started, because I get an idea, and I just Google till I'm silly. And
now, wait a minute. I'm working on that image. What does one do when they Google?
It's an action verb. We Google. And I Google till I'm silly or senseless or have better sense than I did before I started. Ideally, that's where I should be going.
Well, we used to Oogle, but now we Google.
You could maybe Oogle as you Google. I don't know. But the things that I discovered were how coffee houses have always been, and of course this isn't eye-opening, I think people would always recognize that coffee houses have a history of community, but they also have a history of sometimes what might be considered radical thinking or unique ideas being shared and bantered around, and for everything from poets and poetry that would do their thing in the beatnik era of the coffee houses.
Well, let's go back to the 1700s with the tavern. The concept of the tavern is essentially where our revolution began.
Right. And so when you take that same kind of gathering place and then you move it to a coffee house, it lends itself to, and I say radical in the best sense of the word, radical ideas. That, and I explained to someone the other day that it came into the coffee house again talking about the magazine. I said, we take traditional American values and blend them with out-of-the-box thinking. And that's kind of what we want to see done here. And that's really what people did even back when you said the founding fathers. They knew what was right. There was core values that they were following. Mm-hmm. And then the radical idea was that those core values weren't being followed. And how do they make sure that it happens?
Right. The king in England was, you know, taxing without representation. Well, that's a good way to piss somebody off.
Make enough people angry that they say, wait a minute, you know, I want another way of life.
Yeah.
So that's what we want to investigate more of as we see the connection with coffee and the Owl Creek Gazette. And in the process, I found how much coffee had been a part of soldiering and war. And then also on the flip side of that, it had played such a role in the peace movement. So that's, again, that kind of juxtaposition of how it has always been involved in our country and in our nation and from viewpoints.
Soldiering to the point where some of the Sharps rifles had coffee grinders built into the stock.
Yeah, it was that essential that they have their coffee to get them up, to keep them warm. And in fact, we listened to a video today that said something about that, you know, it was almost silent. If there was no battle on the battlefield and it was an early morning and the soldiers had risen to get ready to go, you could hear those grinders.
10,000 people grinding?
Yeah. Think of that.
And 5,000 pots a boiling?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then they also said that as World War I and World War II came along, and coffee was always a staple in any soldier's mess kit, for lack of a better word. Mm-hmm. But then there was instant coffee that came in, and they even put coffee in foods.
Sure.
And here we are, as we build the coffee house business, we have added coffee into puppy chow or people chow.
Sure.
And today we're going to make up a batch of cookies that we're going to put coffee, our house blend in, or maybe even coal. Cold coffee might be good in those. So we're doing some of the same things for different reasons and for different goals, but it's just kind of interesting, that connection. And then when I found out the coffee houses that sprung up during the Vietnam War near military bases for soldiers that were coming home or had been in basic training, were getting ready to leave. And if they were dissatisfied or unhappy, there's a lot you couldn't say on the base that still needed to be said. And in the coffee houses, they found a home and a safe space to talk among themselves. Everything from, you know, war resistors to just people that were scared.
Mm-hmm.
And then people that came home and needed to understand veterans' rights and veterans'
options. Got to talk about the bill that they passed, for crying out loud. Where else do you get the information except for whenever it's being disseminated by the people that created the bill? The point is that coffee has been such a staple in our psyche, in our diet,
right.
that it is... It is the glue that kind of holds us all together.
Mm-hmm. And the glue also then allows for traditional values to be considered, as well as resistance and as well as radical ideas, because our brain can comprehend a whole lot of things and then rule out things you don't want. If you have a chance to express an opinion that might be seen as alternative or seen as sketchy, you can, if you talk it out, sometimes you can work your way through a problem and not have to act on something because you've resolved it through conversation. And I just wanted to say this when we did a little bit of exploring, we found the first GI coffee house was called the UFO. And I'm still trying to find out why the UFO. I think it was in, you know,
it's an unidentified flying organization.
I don't know. And it was put next to the USO. So I don't know if there was some combative or some, I don't know what that is. I can't find it yet. So stay tuned on that too, folks.
Google didn't have the answer for
they
you.
They didn't, at least I couldn't find it. But anyway, it was established in 1967 near Fort Jackson as a place for soldiers to gather, like we were talking about, and organize against the Vietnam War, disseminate counter-military information, and sometimes just simply enjoy entertainment, provide support for each other. The coffeehouse movement grew through the 60s and 70s, but met with military repression, and many were shut down in uncomfortable situations.
Well, yeah, like not having passed some fire codes that they kept changing.
Right. Some were, you know, that was a good way to say you were a hazard to the community when it was really a hazard to free think. No. The shutdown was a hazard to free thinking. So anyway, yeah. But today's veterans have revived the coffee house tradition in order to build a community and resistance to wars that they feel are unjust. Since 2007, for example, GI coffee houses have started at Fort Drum, New York. I thought this was a good name, called the Different Drummer. Norfolk, Virginia, where my dad was stationed all those many years ago, Norfolk Off Base. And Fort Lewis, Coffee Strong. I like that. And Fort Hood, Under the Hood. They have saved countless lives, by the way, by their sheer existence, as they have been providing information on GI rights, counseling and legal referrals, and a safe space to relax for veterans, service members, and their families, like we pointed out. So what a nice thing to actually create and allow those veterans to come and what? Join forces. And I know that's a pun, I guess.
But I'm pumped.
To join forces with each other to help each other.
Yeah. And we're crying out loud. You know, we've got to be able to get past the conversation that, you know, the media, the military, the government wants you to have, to the conversation that you want to have. That if there's something that's unsettling in your mind,
mm-hmm.
talk about it.
Right.
And get it in the open where it belongs. And don't cloister your brain, for God's sake.
Right. And make room for your friend to say something that might be offensive to you. Simply because you haven't considered the idea, you might find then it is less offensive, or you might find it understandable. And then, you know, everyone says that there's so much animosity in the world now. I think it's because, in part, and like we've said many times, we don't think there's as much as the media points out or tries to make, because we see one-on-one interactions all the time that are kind and gracious and giving. But
and it's those kinds of things that keep the real world going.
Right. Day in and day out. It's how we all do business. It's how we all live our lives, pretty much one-on-one, being decent and respectful.
And thank goodness the television has a power-off switch.
Right. Yeah, if you're not unhappy.
Just click and you're done.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, the ideas that you hear someone express, if you can be, give them room to feel welcome to express an idea that you may not have considered before, and then consider it. And again, like we said earlier, you don't have to embrace it, but at least maybe understand that for them, that idea works,
mm-hmm.
and be tolerant of the idea. And if you really are opposed to it, feel free to be able to say it. But, you know, diplomacy is key.
All right. And, you know, if we've said something here that offends you, there's nothing on earth that's keeping you listening.
Or come on to the coffee house and talk to us about it. Better
sure.
yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's always room to discuss.
Right.
I don't care what the problem is.
Right.
There is common ground that can be found everywhere.
So that's how we see the Owl Creek Gazette and coffee, in that what we tried to do with the mission with our magazine fits so well here. We know in building community, but we want to stretch that notion of building community to more than not just finding like-minded people, but being open to people who may not think like you already.
Right. And, you know, you throw in some onions, you throw in some garlic, and you throw in some bacon, and there you go, you're six steps from bacon.
From Kevin
Again.
Bacon. And food does have a way of bringing people together regardless, because you can sit down in kind of a frustrated state, and if something tastes really good, you can see people go, And the whole attitude in the room changes sometimes. That's really good.
I like that.
We've seen people do that with our coffee chow.
Oh, yeah.
They take the first bite and they get the hit of chocolate, they get the hit of peanut butter, then the hit of coffee, and it goes, So that's fun.
Anyhow, listen, we've got a lot of work tonight. We're going to get some cookies made before we get everything done today.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get some, maybe there'll be some room to make some brownies. I don't know. We'll try.
Yeah, time will tell. And then I'm going to go back and type for the Owl Creek Gazette while I've got a few ideas on my mind,
well,
too.
Well, anyhow, we do have a lot of stuff that we need to get to.
And if you're listening to this at 7 o'clock, open mic has already started, but we have switched open mic, and I think we've mentioned this before, to once a month. So if you can't make it out tonight, then there's next week. And excuse me, next month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
July, the second Sunday of the month, we'll be having something. And ideally, we want to have a guest musician. But we couldn't get our act together for this time to have a special musician come. Too many irons in the fire.
Right.
But we'll see what happens for the next month, because that's kind of the goal as well.
We got to work on chips and salsa, and we got to work on margaritas without tequila.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can find some tequila-flavored syrup.
Ooh. Yeah. Okay, folks, we hope we've inspired you to come down and visit us, whether it's conversation, whether it's food, whether it's connections, community, good coffee. It's here, and we hope you come and be a part of it.
Y'all take care now.
Good night, folks.
Bye-bye.